Hi.
Hello.
This is a podcast about Gintama. I think we should consider this our episode zero. If you've listened to the first episode before listening to this, we are so sorry.
You're beginners. Sorry, guys. Well,
you are.
Oh, whatever, Mr. I Get To Podcast, anyway.
Well, oh, no. I was going to say, you're kind of a beginner at this. I've been on the Just a Gintama podcast. Go listen to them. Go look them up. They're great. Great guys. I love talking to them. But those are the only two things podcast-wise that are done. I've never done, like, my own podcast. But I wanted to record this because I don't think we did a very good job in the first episode talking about what we actually did. And we kind of dicked around too much. I'm not sure if you agree, Jasmine. Which, by the way,
we're really each other.
Say what?
I was saying that we were really random with one another, so we don't really care what we say.
Well, I mean, I should care because I'm hosting, but
yeah.
But anyway, I guess we should introduce ourselves. I'm Colton.
I'm Jasmine, and I am co-host.
Yes, my very lovely co-host. I guess we should talk about what Gintama is, you know, for people who may not know what it is. Gintama is a manga created by Hideaki Sorachi and runs in Weekly Shonen Jump, which is published by Shueisha, and has been running, I want to say, for about 9, maybe close to 10 years at this point. I forget exactly when it started serialization. Probably around 2003. If you want to look up more information regarding release and all that, Wikipedia is your friend. But I guess we should kind of talk about the plot.
Yes, because viewers, sadly enough, you actually go to the Gintama Wikipedia, you might be spoiled.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and there really aren't too many spoilers, actually. They're I'm just kind of skimming along the actual plot summary.
Well, if they don't click on the characters, then they don't get spoiled.
Well, I mean, it's not that bad. You won't be spoiled too much. It doesn't go into detail, let's just say that. But basically how Gintama starts off, it takes place, I don't know the name of the era offhand, but it takes place basically during the 1800s in Edo, Japan, which is later named Tokyo, apparently. And Edo is invaded by aliens, or otherwise known as the Yamato. And because of this invasion, the technology in Edo kind of advances, and the Yamato kind of have their grip on the government. And there's a lot of kind of social inequality going on that we don't really get to see a lot of, especially since there are a lot of samurai in Japan who did not like that these foreigners, basically, were invading their homeland. And they tried to start a coup, a coup d'etat, and obviously the Yamato overpowered them. After the Yamato won, they banned swordsmanship, which meant that any samurai who was caught using a sword would, I'm not exactly sure what would happen to them. They'd probably get executed or something, I'm not sure. But what's important is that using a sword is against the law at this point in the series. And so we cut to, I think, 20 years later. The premise itself focuses on Sakata Gintoki, who is kind of struggling because of all of this. He obviously doesn't have a real job, so he starts up his own freelancing company where he takes requests, just random odd jobs like babysitting, destroying alien swords, you know, normal stuff. And, you know, obviously does this stuff for a profit. But like all other shonen series, he has a goal in life, and that goal in life is to have straight hair and to put off paying the rent. I think that's very inspirational. I'm not sure about you, Jasmine.
Gintoki is your very different protagonist.
Oh, he's very different. I think we bring up in episode one how he's very different compared to, say, Goku, Luffy, or Naruto, or Toriko, even. I think if anyone, he's kind of similar to Luffy in the sense of, I guess, I'm not sure, maybe it's debatable, but you could say that both Luffy and Gintoki, they're kind of righteous, maybe? They both sometimes stand up for other people and what they believe in. But other than that, he's very different from all four of those protagonists and every other shonen main protagonist, or at least the more typical ones. But I think we'll talk more about that in another episode. So that's basically the premise. Other than that, Gintama doesn't really have any real plot, except for every once in a while. Maybe there'll be a story arc or two, but most of the time it's very episodic. Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, if you want to maybe research the series more, again, go ahead and look up the Wikipedia article for it. It's, from what I can tell, it's accurate. You know, nothing too grating on there. I guess maybe we should talk about how we got into it, or really how I got into it.
Yes.
So, basically, how I got into the series was, I had heard of it. I would keep seeing it around the time it was brought over here, and I forget when, but I remember I went to my local library, and they just so happened to have the first two volumes. I picked up the first volume, and I read it, and I kind of liked it. I thought it was entertaining. And then I thought it was entertaining enough for me to go pick up the second volume, and I did. And then after that, I couldn't find anything else after that, so I'm just like, oh, I'll go to something else. And then, I don't know how many years went on after that. It wasn't until, I want to say, 2011, around the end of November, when I started getting into the anime, because I had maybe seen scenes from the anime way before I actually started watching it for real, but so I kind of knew what I was getting into. And by the time I got up to the Benizakura arc, I was a fan. I don't know about anybody else, but that arc is probably my favorite in the entire series. Just because it's so different from everything else that comes before it. Like, obviously you have a lot, you still kind of have drama, you know, even before that, but with the Benizakura arc, there's a lot more action, and the stakes are higher, and I won't give anything away, I won't be specific, but just a very vague spoiler. I like it how this is a comedy series, but there's always the chance of death. People do die in the series, and I find that really refreshing. Because you would think that in a gag series that, you know, these characters are indestructible. They're not going to die. Because, you know, that's too depressing for a gag series. But no, that shit happens. And I basically, it took me about 6 months to watch all of the anime from the first episode all the way up to the end of season 5. Which I literally finished the series as it was finishing its season 5 run. And then I basically just kind of went from there. My story kind of ties in with Jasmine's. I first showed her Gintama when I was running my own anime club, and I showed her the OA arc, the little two-episode mini arc that kind of parodies the release of the Wii, and I remember her laughing her ass off. Did you not?
I did. But also, because of how far it was, I was really confused. So I didn't know what was going on. I was like, who are these characters? Why is this character looking this way?
I think Katsura dressed up as Mario really killed her and everybody else in the room.
Don't spoil it. Oh, that's a good spoiler.
No, it's not a spoiler. Gags do not count as spoilers in my book.
Yeah, this turn does.
But that's 90 episodes in the series. They're not going to remember that 90 episodes in. But, I think after that, I don't remember when you started watching the anime at all.
I will tell you what happened.
Okay.
I remember it. See, what happened was that just a couple of months after he showed me that episode, what happened is that I found it funny. I really did. Mm-hmm. But I just really didn't find myself to be interested. So he kept on telling me, like, it's a really good anime. You should really get into it.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like that. He kept on trying to persuade me. I'm not easy to persuade, especially when it comes to an anime. Well, I only see one episode, so...
You saw two.
Well, yeah. At that point in time, I saw two. And I didn't know, was this going to be my cup of tea, exactly? Because even though it was funny, it seemed kind of weird. So I was like, I don't know if I should watch this or not. So then he made a bet with me is that he would watch that if I watched at least one season. No, he told me, at that point in time, he told me if I watched 10 episodes. I told him, he said he was going to watch an anime for me. I can't remember the anime exactly.
It was Panty and Stocking.
Yeah, which is also anime, by the way. Anyway.
I do not like it as much as you do, but it's not a bad series, but this is not the time nor place to discuss Fanny and Stocking.
Oh, dude. I like it's never a good time. But
as dirty as this show is, it's nowhere near Fanny and Stocking dirty. Or maybe it is. I'm not really.
It does not compare to Fanny, how bad that show is. Or how dirty it is. It's actually a really good show. But anyway. Basically, what happens is that this is a confession, because he doesn't even know about this, that I totally forgot about the bet.
are you sure that I didn't ask you to watch up to the beginning of season two?
You just told me somewhere, like, midpoint, or you told me to go to season, just watch the entire season, but I totally forgot about the bet.
Yeah.
At this point, he went off to work, so I totally forgot about it. It just, like, flew past my head. And then one day, he comes back, he calls me, he says, so, did you watch the first season of Gintama? I was like, oh, no.
I watched both Panty and Stocking and Skip Beat for you.
Yeah, and then what happened is that I didn't watch it, so it kind of made excuses, like, no, actually, what happened was, so then he's like, okay, how about, so at this point in time, I was into another anime that I was really enjoying a lot, and I kept on praising it, and usually when I praise anime to him, it's kind of like, it's either a good thing or it's just like whatever.
I'm very neutral about a lot of the anime that you talk about, either because I maybe don't like them or I haven't seen them.
Right, cause I watch a lot of low key anime that barely no one talks about. So a lot of my animes are very low key. I was watching this one specific one called Skip Beat, which is awesome. Also another awesome anime, by the way. And at this point in time, we made another deal, is that if he watched Skip Beat, I would watch the first season of Gintama. And this time, I actually kept my promise.
Yeah, you did.
And he was actually really shocked because I actually finished it in, like, what, 2 days?
you finished it in, like, the span of a week.
Yeah.
And it took me an entire month to watch season one, just because I'm slow.
See, what happens is that once I get into an anime, I actually can marathon it really quickly, especially if it keeps me entertained.
At what point in the series were you like, I'm into this, this is my thing?
What episode? I'm not even sure. It wasn't truly at the beginning, I know that much.
Yeah.
It definitely was not at the beginning.
I wouldn't blame you.
Because, I'm going to say this now, guys, when you guys do watch the first episode, I probably already mentioned this now, that I actually did not find that as funny as Colton did.
And she's talking about episode 3, because I told her I told her not to watch the first two episodes, because for those who don't know, they're both, it's a filler special that Sunrise created, you know, to kind of introduce the characters, and to kind of maybe just introduce people to the series in general, which I don't think they're funny at all. And
yeah.
I honestly think they're a waste of time, so I just told her to go straight to episode 3.
And if I truly have to say which ones I really found entertaining, that I just really couldn't stop laughing at, there were a couple that really caught my attention, and then I would lose it, and then they would catch my attention again, was that usually once we hit, like, episode 4, when they introduce their third main character, it was really funny.
Really? That early?
Yeah, like, no, it was just... It was really entertaining. I didn't really laugh, but it was really entertaining because I liked the way they went upon it, and I love this character.
What?
Colton already knows how much I love this character.
Really? I actually didn't know how much you liked this
really?
Character.
I usually... Okay, it's because I usually talk more about the other character that kind of overshadows this one.
In Katsura?
Yes. Well, I guess we can name names now, can we?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's... names aren't spoilers.
Okay, so the third character is named Kagura.
Unless it has to do with, like, the plot or something.
Yeah. But, like, the third character is Kagura.
Within the trio of main characters that we have at the beginning.
Right. And basically, she's just like this overpowered chick, and I'm just like, and she's more overpowered than Otai, which she, you guys, yeah.
She's
the first, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, she's basically just a female Goku, who, in any other shonen manga series, she would be the perfect typical shonen main character.
Guys, we're seriously not lying.
No, we're not.
It's crazy how overpowered this chick is. It's crazy.
It's crazy how insane and overpowered all the female characters are in the series.
That's very true. Well, except for... Well, there's one specific character I can never remember the name for.
Sachan?
No, not her. The idol.
Oh, Otsu?
Yeah. She's your basic, cutie, I'm adorable kind of girl. She's, like, she's not really powerful.
Well,
but
because she's not really that important of a character, she's just an idol who does all the stereotypical idol things.
So there's not really much to her.
She's crazy in her own way.
Right. When actually, just there's like three episodes that are just for her, and when you watch this one specific episode when she kind of takes over the Shinsengumi, that episode. Oh my god.
The Shinsengumi are great, by the way.
Right. They're hilarious and so serious at the same time that I just love watching them. But he loves them more than I do.
Do I?
Yeah, you talk about them a lot more than I do.
Because you guys talk about them a lot.
No, like, half the time I don't even bring them up. You're just like, oh, when Hijikata did this, oh my. Well, wait, when did you even get on the topic of that?
Can you blame me? Hijikata's fucking badass.
Yeah. That we're going really off. But that was episode 4 for me when they actually introduced Kagura. And another one that actually was really it wasn't really entertaining, it was more kind of heartwarming to me, was episode 6, was Keep Your Promise.
What, you mean the first Otsu episode?
Yes, that's the first Otsu episode. And despite her, what happens in that show actually is kind of heartwarming to me.
Yeah, that episode turned out to be a very emotional episode, kind of.
Yeah, it's not to the point that it'll make you cry, but it's really heart touch.
It's very heart. It's a very touching father daughter relationship episode.
Yeah, so it's really nice. But then we get the one next to it, where they introduce another character.
You mean Gorilla? The Gorilla himself?
No, not the Gorilla himself, not this one. This is actually when they first meet, I keep forgetting his name.
Kondo?
No, the one that has no job.
Oh, Hasegawa.
Yeah, this is where we first introduced to Hasegawa. Also, this is actually when you finally see how, like, when they say that like, everything's international, isn't it? The episode 7 is actually when you start noticing that every time you say that, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean, Hasegawa... Spoiler alert, he kind of loses his job.
Yeah, and what happens is that, this is where you start noticing, we said this before in episode 1, that every time they say, like, oh, it's an international incident, it doesn't seem like it falls into play, because, like, every time they say that, nothing happens.
Yeah, we bring it up in episode 1, how, you know, sometimes the characters will, you know, inflict physical damage or do something violent to all these other Amanto, and people will always be like, this is an international incident, you better watch out, but nothing ever really comes of it. Or at least nothing too big.
Yeah, like, and usually if it's someone that's really important, they're like, oh no, I can't believe you did that. They're like, this is an international incident. Literally, like, 3 episodes later, they're sitting there looking completely fine as if nothing happened. Or, like, the next episode even. they will do. They probably do the exact same thing they did to that same character, and then people are still flipping out about it. And he's just like, oh, and the person's just like, oh well, and nothing happens.
I wonder if near the end of the series, if the Amato and the government are just kind of letting these incidents pile up to the point where maybe when they're finally actually taking on the government for real, maybe, I don't know, that they'll just start listing all this shit that they've done, and it'll actually come back to bite them in the ass. And then they'll make a joke like, well, that was 400 chapters ago. Who remembers that?
Yeah, they probably will. Gintama is that type of show that just does crap to know, and they do stuff, and they break the fourth wall, as you said in the first episode. They break the fourth wall so many times.
So much.
As I say, they nuclear bomb it. It's so...
Like... sometimes I don't think it was there to begin with.
Right, I think they just add that in, actually. Or he just, or the artist or the creator of Gintama was that much of a genius to just like, let me go ahead and break the fourth wall, bam. We don't even know, but we love that they break the fourth wall so many times. We love it. If they didn't do that,
it wouldn't be as funny.
Right, if they didn't break the fourth wall, we would literally just sit there and be like, I'm bored.
It'd be a very boring series where nobody does anything.
Right, so if they didn't break the fourth wall, I think a lot of us would just be like, I can't take it anymore.
I can't really imagine a world where in Gintama they actually take anything seriously and they just live their lives and they don't comment on anything.
Right. Trust me, if they did stuff like that, I promise you guys, this anime or this manga would not sell at all if this didn't happen.
Well, I mean, it would just be a really, really, really boring slice of life series.
Right. And the slice of life genre is very vague. It usually it has moe. So, is that right, moe?
Moe, yeah.
Oh yeah, is that right? Ooh. But there's usually a lot of moe.
Like, wait, what does moe have to do with anything?
It's like, because slice of life is mostly mixed with moe a little bit.
Is it?
Like, K-On, that's a slice of life mixed with a moe.
Well, I mean, I don't watch a lot of slice of life or moe, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, like, a lot of... This is just for my purpose, what I have watched so far, it hasn't come a slice of life. They usually have a little bit of moe in there, and not the whole show is moe. So...
I guess, is that where you... Like, what episode did you actually, like... I'm not sure if you already answered.
Oh, that was Hook, Line, and Sinker for me?
Yeah, Hook, Line, and Sinker. Like where there was no going back.
Let me see. Honestly, if I have to really, really choose, that's a really hard choice. But this is really, really backtracking, guys. I'm very sorry for this.
No, it's fine.
I realized that wasn't episode 4. Episode 4 was a really good one. But actually, what really Hook, Line, and Sinkered me... Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry, it was episode 4. It will be the episode when my favorite character, Kasura, comes in, and I was Hook, Line, and Sinker.
That was literally episode 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the episode right after it.
That was it? It was actually the episode when they had, it's called Pet Show?
The Pet Show episode, yeah.
I think that would be Hook, Line, and Sinker for me, because that was when I really saw the comedy in this. Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing, and I was just like, I like this. I like this a lot.
You know, it's funny that you say that's the episode that really hooked you in, because another friend I'm watching the series with, my friend Jay, who's both our best friend, she's still, every time we watch the series, because we're kind of watching it out of order a little bit, we still haven't seen that episode. Every time we sit down to watch a series, like, that's always an episode that we never get to. Because the first time, she wanted to skip that episode.
Oh, she can't skip that episode. That episode's really good.
I mean, honestly, at first I didn't really think it was that funny, but after watching it a couple of times, I appreciate the episode. Just because of Katsura's description of what a space captain is.
Okay, you guys gotta watch that scene. Because I don't want to spoil that little segment for you, because that segment is hilarious. Because
well, I mean,
you don't expect the answer.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's not really anything big, but...
It's not anything big, but think about it. It kind of ruins a joke for you if you really knew about it.
I don't think jokes can be spoilers.
No, I'm not saying it's a spoiler to the episode. I'm talking about it just spoils the joke for you.
I guess. I mean, I honestly don't get that, but maybe that's just because I'm stupid. I have no idea.
It's kind of like this. Would you want somebody telling you... It's kind of like how a surprise works. When somebody's like, oh, you're having a surprise party, would you want somebody telling you that?
I guess not. That would kind of ruin the purpose of a surprise party.
Right. It's kind of like when a joke happens. You know, when you're telling a joke to someone, and you know for a fact they've never heard of it, and they have that random person, like, and they have that random person that's right next to you, be like, oh, I know what this is. And then the woman punched him. And then it ruins the whole thing. It's kind of like that.
Uh-huh. So I guess ever since then you've liked the series?
Yes, I do. I really like it.
As if I have to ask, I guess. I guess if you didn't like the series, you wouldn't be doing this with me now.
Most likely, no.
But, that's pretty much how we got into it. And then I've gotten my friend Jay into the series, and I've gotten, my friend John into the series, which I didn't think he liked anime too much, actually, but apparently he actually likes anime a lot. And every time I watch Gintama with him, he laughs his ass off.
And what you guys don't know about John is that he's a video gamer, so...
Yeah, he's a big gamer.
So, he's not really into anime. He is, with anime, he's mostly into it for the graphics. Or for the action.
Really? I didn't know that, actually, about him.
Well, it seems like he would be. This is just my preference on it. I mean, I could be totally wrong about this. But us observing him, he doesn't seem like he would be the one to be into anime.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
And you see how much he references video games. You're just like, okay. Like, literally, there are times when he will watch anime, he will, like, reference, if there's a scene that looks similar to a video game that he played, he will say, oh, this reminds me of this video game that I played not that long ago.
But, yeah, he loves the show. And, any chance he can get, he will watch it with me. Though, I really need to start from the beginning with him. Because he just kind of comes in whenever one of us watches it.
Yeah, he's kind of like those guys, like, he doesn't really care where he is in the anime, he just wants to watch it, so, like, because it's funny.
And good thing Gintama isn't too plot heavy to where he can actually do that.
Right, trust me, if it was focusing truly on the plot, well, I'm not saying that it isn't, but if it was truly focused on the plot, he will be so lost and so confused.
I mean, there are points in the series where, you know, the series has continuity. It's consistent.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But it's not so consistent to the point where, like, I mean, there are a few episodes that I wouldn't show him without showing another one first, but those are very few and far in between, you know? I wouldn't show him stuff like the Beni Zakura arc without having him introduced to Takasugi or Nizo in the Infant arc. Like I would have him watch those three episodes all together first before I show him Beni Zakura.
Right.
But like, go on.
I was gonna say, like, if there are certain things, this is also what you gotta like about Gintama, is that not only is it not plot heavy for real, but despite it not, like, it has its moments, but also there's a lot of character development.
Oh yeah, you really feel something for these characters. These characters end up being a lot more complex than you can imagine.
Right. Because usually when you see stuff that's not really plot heavy and it's just going, basically you're just following people on their natural daily lives, you expect them to just be the exact same character or have the exact same values or whatnot through the whole entire series, which doesn't happen in Gintama.
No.
Usually, not even when an arc happens, it can happen sometimes in that specific episode or in three episodes, not considering it truly an arc, but usually that person can go through some serious character development.
Like,
I actually enjoy.
Like in what's a good single episode that does that? I don't.
I'm actually looking at the list right now.
It
could be when Salaharu becomes a demon.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, I think that might actually be two episodes in the manga, but that doesn't matter. Yeah, that is a single episode in the anime. I think that episode, because Sadaharu, for those who don't know, is just a dog, a stray that they pick up later, and I don't remember the specific plot of that episode, because I've only seen that episode like maybe two times, but
I kind of remember it. Basically, well, no one really knows where Sadaharu came from. Basically, they just saw, literally, so, Kagura is just walking down the street. She literally sees this dog in a box that says, two odd jobs.
Yeah, so somebody drops it off at the odd jobs place where Gintoki works.
Right. So, of course, automatically, they bring him in and they keep him. But no one knows truly his background. But we find out that he's actually, I guess you could say he's a demon.
Well, he's not really a demon, I think.
He's more like, I guess you could say he's more like those like a shrine holder, I guess you could say.
I guess so. I don't really know much about all of that, honestly. But
we don't know much, so don't get mad at us if we're.
Oh yeah, we're
calculating you.
Yeah, so some of these things, like just Japanese in general, and some of this stuff like shrines or Buddhism. I'm not sure if those are the same thing yet. We're not really the most knowledgeable people here.
Yeah, so don't get mad at us saying that we're completely wrong. We know we're most likely wrong.
Don't
get mad at us.
Don't email us. We don't want to be corrected because most of the time we don't really care.
Right, we don't really care that we're completely wrong at this point. We just know that what happened in the episode.
Yeah.
But basically, Salaharu kind of, I guess you could say he does kind of become a demon in this sense.
Something like that.
And basically, he wreaks havoc. And it goes from there.
But basically, the whole thing is just kind of strengthening the bond that the Odd Jobs trio has with Sadaharu.
Right. And a lot of people, and we actually get to see Kagura show her love for her pet, because she kind of does treat him like a pet, even though guys actually watch Sadaharu, he tries to eat her.
Well, I mean, out of the three of them, Kagura shows him the most
affection.
Shows him the most affection.
Right, but we actually get to see, like, the trio actually trying their best to bring back Sadaharu, and that's not character development.
I don't know what is.
Right, because usually during this entire series, you always see usually Gintoki bashing on him.
Oh yeah, Gintoki can treat him like shit sometimes, you know, to the point where
you're wondering why this dog didn't run away.
to the point where he'll eat his dog food.
Right. It's just such a terrible. And then we can't really say much for Shinbashi because he's kind of just sitting there like, I don't really care.
No, I mean, sometimes when they mistreat Sadaharu, he'll say something. He'll kind of stand up for him a little bit. He'll be like, oh, come on, don't treat him like that. That's not
good. Yeah.
But I think in terms of how much they care, I think Kagura, out of the three of them, cares about Sadaharu the most, because technically he's really her pet.
Right.
But I always thought that little relationship was cute and nice. It's touching. I like it. So I think we should go on to I don't think we've even talked about what the title of the podcast is.
I don't think we did either. Sorry.
Yep, forgot again. But we're doing a lot better than we did first episode, though.
Yeah, which is very weird. It's episode zero. We actually did episode one before we did episode zero, and yeah,
we're doing this now after episode one, because we didn't do a very good job explaining things about the podcast or the series in the first episode. And again, we're sorry about that.
Yeah, we're beginners.
We're trying, guys. We just want to talk about Gintama. I don't want to say we don't care about how we come off, but at the same time, sometimes we won't sweat the small stuff, except for now.
Yeah. So, it seems really dull at this moment. It's kind of like how Gintama starts off. It starts off really dull, but
yes,
as you go on, we end up getting to point to point to point.
we'll get better later. We'll have funnier gags.
And also, side note, you know, surely the only reason the reason he actually kept on asking me to do this with him is because I actually had these weird insights on Gintama.
I like what you have to say on the series, because you're like the, no offense to our other friends, but you're really one of the only people I could talk to about the series and actually have a decent discussion with.
It's just like because I have these crazy insights, and I guess you could say I overanalyze the show a little too much.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I do the same thing.
Because, like, there was one episode of precisely that, I'm going to say this, that was the arc, and it was a tearjerker, and I cried my eyes out, and I was wearing makeup so I couldn't cry as much as I wanted to.
You mean the two-episode arc that we shall not name?
Yeah. Okay. Anybody who thinks they're hard as stone, that's a lie. You're lying to yourself.
Oh, God. I think fans really hate those two episodes because it's so sad. I honestly didn't see it coming.
Right.
What happens at the end. It's a really, really sad two episodes.
Right. I'm going to say this now. Usually when Gintama and they bring up a really touching moment, I do not cry. And Colton hasn't witnessed this. He has shown me heartwarming, before this arc, he has shown me the most heartwarming episodes ever. And I'm just sitting there like, aw. Okay. Next episode, please.
Yeah,
and this one, and because I was wearing makeup, I couldn't cry as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
So, it was still bad. I was just like, oh, because of you, I might ruin my makeup. I had to run away.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, by the way.
So, people who say their heart is stone, they're not going to cry at the show because it's so funny, it's so action-packed, you're dead wrong.
And no kidding. Those two episodes were really sad.
So dead wrong. And that's actually where Phyllis says I have the best insight on the show. But anyway, back to the podcast.
Yeah, should probably get back to that.
See, we're sorry again. We really go off topic a lot.
No, it's okay. We're talking about the show, so it's relevant.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep this going for more than an hour though. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, we were gonna talk about what the podcast is called because I forgot to do that at the beginning. Obviously, the title of our podcast is Life Lessons, the Gintama Manga Cast, and at first you would think Life Lessons is a very, very misleading title, especially if you just called it Life Lessons.
Right, when he ran it by me, I just sat there and was like, why would you call it that? It's really misleading. You're going to make the person feel upset.
Like, this is going to sound like some kind of, I don't know, some kind of religious podcast or something. I have no idea.
Right, because when he mentioned it to me, he had so many other good ones, and when he mentioned this, I was just like, why would you want to name it that? I don't know how people feel about wanting to know about life lessons.
No.
Because I don't think they want to be lectured. They don't feel like little kids, like how they were in elementary school being lectured by their teacher.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm calling this podcast Life Lessons, because I personally feel that When you catch up to the series, like when you watch enough or read enough of the series, you'll start to feel like that Gintama is a series where it's really, these characters are all just kind of living their lives. You know, it really is, I feel like at the core of the series, it's basically just an over-glorified slice of life, is basically what it is. They're just, nothing too out of the ordinary. Well, actually, that's a lie. A lot of out of the ordinary shit happens. But at the same time, you know, it's normal for them, kind of. You know, like I said, these characters are just living their lives and they're learning as they live their lives. Especially Gintoki, because just a little vague spoiler. Gintoki's already gone through a lot. Even when the series starts, he's already gone through so much.
And he does mention it in the first chapter, aka the third episode. He does mention that he basically says, I lost everything,
yeah.
And he's already, I try my best to protect it.
He's already lost a lot, actually. He's kind of foreshadowing to his past, which we learn more of in episode 5. I think it's actually chapter 5 also. Chapters 5 and 6. But,
yeah.
So, it may seem misleading, but at the same time, I think it describes the series on another level very well.
Yeah. And it's really nice. I will admit, because I'm not the person to really go for backstory, because when I usually see backstories, they're really arrogant, in my opinion.
What do you mean by that?
I guess you could say I overanalyze stuff, so I guess you could say I'm able to pinpoint what their background is really easily and really quickly before they even talk about it. Or I know where it's going, and I'm like, I end up ruining it for myself. When Gintoki pulls up his past, I was shocked to the point that I wasn't able to know where it was going.
Like, did you expect Gintoki to have that kind of background?
No, not at all. Because usually what happens in anime is that when I look at a specific character and they always say he has the backstory, I can usually tell from that point of character, from the way that person acts, I can tell what backstory they got, and usually most of the time, I'm usually right.
I
can always pinpoint how it's going to go.
I think the character with the most, I don't know what you would call it, the most kind of predictable backstory would be Shinpachi to an extent.
Really?
I mean, I wish I brought this up in the first episode, but basically, Gintama is just a funnier Rurouni Kenshin. That's basically what it is.
But basically, when I found out about Gintoki's backstory, I was shocked to the point that I was shocked to even knew that half of the characters in this show, not half of them, but at least four to four, were actually a part of his past and knew what he did. It actually helped him out. And I was like, this is crazy. I never predicted none of this for any of these characters.
Yeah, some of these characters go through some really tough shit.
And I didn't even realize it because I thought I could easily pinpoint what they could do. Like, what is their backstory? And with Gintoki, overall, I was able to truly pinpoint, like, I knew his character, but I wasn't able to pinpoint what kind of background he would have. And when I found out, I was shocked to the point that I just didn't know what to say. And then once I figured out that Kagura was a part, Katsura, see, look at me. Oh, Katsura was a part of it. And then two other characters that I cannot name at this point in time because they actually will be spoiled. Well,
One of them.
I cannot say whatsoever because if I do, it's going to ruin everything for you. I do not want to do that.
Yeah, one of them's actually important, and he's actually a very big antagonist throughout the series, so he doesn't really do too much.
He's like the one guy that just has to stand there, and all crap just goes down right then and there.
A lot of stuff that this particular character does, he's planning in the background. And
right.
He's kind of like a time bomb. It's gonna go off sooner or later.
Right. So, and he also has a really crazy backstory that actually entwines with Gintoki's, and it's crazy.
Well, I'm not really sure if we actually know his backstory.
Right.
But
like, haven't really got in depth with his backstory, but from what we could guess happened.
I think it's implied what happened to him, because I think really what happened to him is the same thing that happened to Gintoki. Because they,
yeah.
Well, actually, what happened to him happens to all three of them, not really the fourth.
Yeah, what happens to Gintoki happens to three other characters that we're talking about, which is Katsura and two other characters.
Because they all go through kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and they all help each other out in this backstory. But we truly don't know per se what happens to this specific character. We don't know what happened, but we have we are implied that this specific thing happened to all three of them, but it impacted this person the most.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Which, I always like that parallel between Gintoki and this character who should not be named. That Gintoki kind of, I don't really know how to explain it. Because I was just rewatching this arc, or the movie version of this arc, the other day. And I kind of like that parallel, how this specific unnamed character has a really hard time trying to cope with this, and he's kind of taking out his insanity and anger on the government and all of Edo in general. And then Gintoki's just kind of taking it. You know, he's trying to get over it.
Right.
No.
Because...
and not become insane like, you know, this other character.
Yeah, we actually don't really know how this person becomes insane. We don't understand really how this specific thing makes somebody go insane, technically.
They foreshadow it in Benizakura.
Yeah, they definitely do to the point that you're just like, something happens.
We just don't know specifics.
Right, like when in the Benizakura, sorry, did I say that right?
Benizakura, I don't know.
Well, I like the specific arc.
I like to say it with a Z.
We're going to say this arc. But the specific arc, like, there's some serious foreshadowing of, I guess you could say, of their past. And you definitely could be like, something went down.
Something went down.
It was bad.
It was bad enough to where, you know, this character becomes, you know, fucking insane.
Right, so when you see that specific foreshadow or that backflash, you're like, something went down, and I should be scared.
that backflash?
Yeah, because when I saw that, I was a little scared and confused and worried at the same time. I had, like, conflicting emotions that I didn't know what to say. I was just like, all I could say was that something went down, it was bad, and I hope everybody's okay.
She doesn't know that I just made fun of her because she said backflash and it's flashback.
Whatever.
I think we kind of mentioned it first episode, but I think we could be a bit more clearer as to, I guess we can go over it again. Like how do we support the series? I'll take care of this. Cause you took care of it last time.
I did.
Yeah, you were the one who brought it up, which thank you for bringing that up, because I would have completely forgotten, but I think...
I up.
Yeah, you were the one that brought it up first.
Oh.
But, obviously, I am literally in the middle of making a WordPress blog for this podcast, and what I'm going to be doing is every episode that I put up, I will have links to where you can buy the manga and watch the anime. Because I'll go over it more when we talk about the structure of our podcast, and then we finally end this. But basically what we're going to do is, as much as we like to talk about the anime, we're going to try to talk more about the manga. Mostly because I personally don't feel like people give the manga much credit, and I don't think a lot of people talk about it too much. Because... there's already a podcast out there run by two cool people who they'll admit they're not very competent, but, you know, they're the only two that are willing to even talk about the manga in podcast form. And, of course, I'm talking about the Just a Gintama podcast. Look them up. Go to Google, just look them up. You'll find their website. Go listen to them. They're really fun to listen to. But, they already talk about the anime. And so I thought that maybe I could try talking about the manga. Because, again, I don't feel like people pay enough attention to the manga. Especially since it's the original source material. And I feel like that should be brought to light. Because without the manga, this anime wouldn't exist at all. So the thing about the manga over here is that it only 23 out of, like, the almost 50 volumes that are out have been released. So almost roughly half the series so far has been released over here. And it's only 23 volumes over here because volume 23 was the last volume to be published over here. And like I said in the first episode, I don't think there's any specific reason, or at least no official reason given as to why the manga was canceled over here. The only two things I've gathered is that, one, apparently it's really hard to translate into English because a lot of the jokes and dialogue sometimes don't translate well over here, because Gintama can be very, very culturally heavy. it doesn't help that in the series you'll actually see Japanese celebrities and politicians that they joke about, you know, on screen. So, there's that. And then, as far as I know, I don't think the series sold very well over here. Or at least didn't sell enough to warrant to keep publishing it over here. So, that's unfortunate. But, and then I think the anime actually got a short little release over here. I know that Sentai Filmworks, who, from what I'm seeing on Twitter, they are licensing everything they can. I know they released all of Season 1 on DVD.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Though, you can find those sets on Amazon.
Wow.
From what I hear, though, I heard that they licensed both Seasons 1 and 2, but as far as I know, as far as I can tell, I'm just going to guess that Season 1 didn't sell too well, so maybe they're not bothering with Season 2. But I also know that they did try to license and sell and dub the movie, the Benizakura retelling movie, which I don't want to get into a whole debate about this. I personally don't like the dub, but they tried. They tried. It was a good attempt, but I don't think the Benizakura movie sold very well over here, so I forget when that was released. It wasn't that long ago. It was like a year ago or something. But basically, unless something comes out of that, I think this is their last hoorah in terms of the Gintama anime. So that's unfortunate. But you guys can go over to Crunchyroll and literally watch every episode of Gintama released so far for free. There are a few ads, obviously, but, you know, without those, Crunchyroll wouldn't be able to make any money. So, there is that.
Ad blocker people, take it off.
Well, I personally wouldn't want to take it off just because I want Crunchyroll to make some kind of money. I mean, if you don't like ads, get a subscription. It's only like $7 a month. It's actually really cheap. You do that, not only will you not have any ads, you can watch it in HD, and if you have a PS3 or an Xbox, you can watch it on those. That's pretty cool, right? I mean, I think I have a free trial to Crunchyroll right now. I'm trying it out, and I really like watching Gintama on my PS3. It's really nice. Oh yeah, I should probably talk about the manga too. The manga, as far as I know, is not being produced here anymore, but there are still volumes of it being sold on Amazon. There's still copies out there. It's not completely out of print yet. So I'm kind of looking it up really quickly right now. As far as I know, at least the first volume should be up on Amazon. There should still be copies of that left. I'm clicking on the link right now. I can't believe I'm doing this right now. Come on, load. Apparently, according to Amazon, there are 6 left in stock. So I'm not sure if maybe they have any more after this. I'm gonna say no. I have no idea, but no, there are still copies of at least the first volume out there. You know, go ahead and go buy it, because I don't like the scans for it very much. And if I'm using scans, I'm only using them as a reference. As long as we have the first 23 volumes, we are going to be using those volumes as material to actually recap the manga and talk about it. As far as what we're going to do after we run out of those first 23 volumes, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but most likely if we do continue past volume 23, even if we do use scans, we're still going to tell people to go buy whatever's out there. Because whatever manga we don't have over here, there's still the anime version of it.
Right.
Or hey, if you want, you can go buy the Japanese volumes. If you can read Japanese, I don't care. Even if we do end up using scans, we are still going to do our best to promote how to and where to buy or just view this series legally. But I would use the original Japanese manga, but none of us can read Japanese, so if it weren't for that, I really wouldn't be using scans. But you know, it's all we got. But then again, that's only if we decide to use scans, and if we ever get far enough in this podcast to do scans. So that won't come up for probably many years. depending on the release date, release schedule for this podcast. So, yeah, like I said, we are going to be putting up links each episode post as to where you can buy the manga volume that whatever chapter we recap comes from, or you could, or I will put up a link to the corresponding anime episode if you want to check it out. So, I think that covers that. I guess really the last thing is we should talk about what kind of segments we have for the podcast, how we're going to actually structure this. Well, first off, we are, of course, going to have our introduction segment where we introduce ourselves every podcast episode just in case somebody jumps in the middle, which I don't know why people would do that. I personally would want to start at the beginning of the podcast, but I digress. So, yeah, we'll introduce ourselves, maybe have a little bit of small talk. I don't know. I'm literally in the process of trying to edit the first episode, and after editing out all the stupid banter that we have that I don't think is funny, we're down to like 13 minutes for the intro.
Oh.
So I'm so I'm hoping that intros for all of our podcasts won't go over 5 minutes, 10 minutes max, and that'll be it. Because
we're very.
Yeah, we're really sorry about that ahead of time. And then after that, we will have our manga recap, where we will go over the chapter panel by panel, kind of explain what's going on, you know, just like any other anime manga podcast, like the One Piece podcast, or like the Hunter x Hunter podcast, you know, stuff like that. And then after the manga recap, we will kind of discuss the chapter, kind of, like, for example, talk about, you know, like, what gags we like, how much we like this certain character, what we think of the chapter as a whole, stuff like that. And then after that, we have a little mini segment that hopefully won't take too long each time that I will call Life Lessons, named after the podcast, which, Jasmine and I, when we watch the series, one of us, really any time one of us watch the series, sometimes the anime at least will have episode titles that some of us sometimes will be like, well, how does that make sense? That doesn't make sense for this episode, does it? Well, we're going to kind of debate about that in this segment. We will take the chapter title and we will kind of sometimes maybe overanalyze it. I'm hoping we did a good job of that in the first episode. I also call it this segment Life Lessons because within the manga, the chapter titles are called lessons. So, like, for example, the first chapter is called Lesson 1, Nobody with Naturally Wavy Hair Can Be That Bad. So that's basically what we do with that segment. And then next, we will have our anime and manga comparisons, where I will go out of my way to watch the corresponding anime episode because reading the manga for the first time after watching all of the anime, I notice that sometimes the anime will add a lot of extra scenes that you would think with any other anime, this would maybe ruin your experience with the anime. I'm not sure if that's really that's the right word. But,
it won't ruin it, but you will feel very
odd.
You'll feel very misplaced because usually when people read a manga and then they watch the anime, of course, animes are going to add extra scenes to it.
Like,
that's how it works.
Like, a good example, like with the One Piece anime, when they do filler and stuff, there'll be a few things that maybe a character will say or something they'll do where, personally, I'll be like, the characters would never do that. This is just Toei Animation doing whatever the fuck they want. Fuck this filler. I hate One Piece filler. Except for the G8 arc. But anyway. So, really, depending on the staff, when they do extra scenes for an anime adaptation of a manga, hopefully they're still in character and stuff like that, and they stay true to the nature of the series, which I love.
Right.
I love the staff for the anime because they know the series so well. Even early on, they do a really good job of adding in extra scenes that actually really do add to the series a lot.
It's very true. Like, you guys probably heard me in the first episode that I was really praising the anime that more than I probably should have.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I just love the anime so much, but...
I do too, but we're good thing that the anime won't be... Obviously, it won't be the main topic of discussion, but we will bring it up, because why wouldn't we bring it up? It's gonna be brought up, whether anyone likes it or not.
Right. And what happens is that it's one of these few times when anime is or can be slightly better, or probably more, depending... I think slightly.
I think way better, actually. At least from what I'm reading, I think it's way better so far. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, again, I haven't read much in the manga, so I can't really say how good it is. But from my preference, I say it's right at this moment, it's probably slightly better than the manga. Because, again, because what I didn't even know about the manga, Colton actually introduced it to me. He introduced the anime to me first before the manga.
Oh, yeah.
And I fell in love, as I said before, I fell in love with it. And I love the animation, I love the comedy, and stuff like that. And then, as for me and Colton talks, he told me about how, when he read the manga, the comedy was more drier, like, certain scenes didn't look as cool as they did in the anime. Not because in the anime, of course, they move, but just scenes didn't seem to fall into play. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And then extra scenes that were added into the anime were played off so well that you probably would have thought those scenes were added in there and you didn't read the manga. You probably would have thought they literally just took this and did everything they saw in the manga. You really would have thought that.
Yep.
Because it's so played off so well that you wouldn't even notice it unless you actually read the manga before you actually started watching the anime.
I personally feel like there are scenes in the manga that have way more impact than the anime.
It's really weird. That's very true. Because
no offense to Sorachi. He's a very good storyteller when he wants to be, but I've always felt like his art's good enough. I can't say anything bad about the art, because I'm not an artist. I don't know anything about good art, but I feel like Sorachi isn't as good with just little details, you know, like they put in the anime.
Trust me, you guys should watch the anime or read the manga or both. You will see probably what he's talking about.
Yeah, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Because in the first episode, I was going crazy over the first two pages, saying how beautiful it was. But it's just like how everybody kind of goes, like usually what I'm not criticizing him, this is just how I see manga. Usually it goes two ways. Usually it starts off with really good art style, and then as it goes on, they kind of drop in quality.
Yeah.
So you kind of have awesome backgrounds, or the awesome shadowing, the awesome shading of the skin, or where the shade should be, when they actually go on and you compare, like, from beginning to end, like, from the to after. Either it has no background, or the shadowing's not even there anymore, or something like that. You can definitely tell something is different.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. It can start out looking really bad. And then looking completely amazing.
But, and then I think our last segment before we end is a segment that I couldn't come up with a better name for, called Translations and Things, where since we're reading the Viz manga, I notice when I read the Viz translations that Viz has a lot of very weird wording sometimes with this manga, and sometimes they kind of change around dialogue a little bit, and I know there's a specific chapter, I think in Volume 3 I was telling you about, where in the original, they do make a slight reference to One Piece, and for some reason, they kind of translated as something else in the Viz manga, which I found kind of weird. Just stuff like that. That's basically what that segment's all about. That probably won't go on for too long either.
But I was also going to say that we're not criticizing the people who translated this.
No, yeah, we
actually get serious props because we can never do what they do.
No, like
because some of the translations don't really make sense.
Yeah, I give props to whoever, you know, took a crack at translating this official English version, because they probably had their work cut out for them. Because
This is hard.
Because I don't really know enough Japanese to really gauge the level of difficulty it is to translate the series, but I'm going to guess it's very hard. Just cause a lot of the humor is very...
Japanese-oriented.
Oh, yeah, and plus there's a lot of text in the manga. So, I know there is a certain translator out there who does scans for the manga now, he does a great job with these scans, by the way. They're actually really good. I wouldn't mind using these for the podcast when we get up to this batch of material, but I know there's a guy out there who translates the manga who hasn't translated a certain portion of it. I think he started on a volume that he never got to, like, a year ago, and I don't even think he's halfway through the volume yet. That's how hard it is, and that's how much that these guys have to translate. There's a lot of text. There is a lot of talking in this series that would probably turn off a lot of people.
Yeah. So, but we're just... Sorry.
I was going to say, I think it's the dialogue that really, really makes the show what it is, honestly. It's the action's cool, but it's not just the action. I like a lot of the dialogue in the series. There are a lot of good lines in this series that I like.
Right. Because usually the gags, they're not physical. So half of the gags are actually very verbal.
Oh, I was going to say, a lot of the gags very early on in the series are very... they're dialogue-based. I don't think it's until maybe the second volume where Sorachi tries to cooperate a little more slapstick. And I think it really works out for him.
Yeah, like, I will admit there's a lot of physical gags going on,
mm-hmm.
but there's still verbal.
Oh, yeah, there's still a lot of verbal gags going on.
Yeah, and this goes on throughout the entire series. Like, it balances both out very well.
Yeah, they never go away.
Yeah, they're not going away. But what happens is that sometimes we said those gags, mostly the verbal gags, are very Japanese-oriented.
Sometimes they are, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they're very Japanese-oriented, so we can understand how the translator would have a very hard time saying that to a person who probably doesn't even know about Japanese culture, let alone Japanese itself.
It's hard to really translate some of the stuff into English in a way that people would understand it.
And then laugh about it. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not criticizing them, we're not judging them, because we give them serious props, because we can never do what they do.
I'm very grateful that they even attempted to bring the series out at all. I'm surprised they got as far as they did. But I really wish they went on for at least three more volumes. Because they stopped right after probably the best arc in the entire series, which unfortunately Jasmine hasn't seen yet, but we'll fix that someday.
But we're just, like as I said before, it's just that we're not criticizing them whatsoever. We're just trying to show you, like, how the dialogue is a little awkward.
It is a little awkward sometimes. Like, I think in the first chapter alone, there are words like schmuck and I don't give a hoot.
It's just that he likes them, I'm just like, eh.
I think they're funny.
But, like, with certain things like that, it's kind of hard. So, it also, and we're also kind of, it depends on the base you're dealing with. Because, as he said, this is more like a slightly mature base, kind of like for teenagers, in a sense.
Yeah, so, this manga is very, like, in terms of the comedy and content, it's very Family Guy level.
Yeah. So you got like, a lot of teenagers watching this, or if not preteens.
Mm-hmm. This runs in a magazine for boys. Like, for boys, like... I'm sure, like, anywhere between 10 and 25. Maybe 20.
Right. This is for preteens and slightly older men.
Oh, yeah. But
again, for the anime, I'm not sure about the manga, but there's a large female base.
there is a very big female fan base for this series because of, I forget what you call it, because,
Shipping?
Shipping and a lot of Fujoshi. I probably said that wrong, but basically a lot of females like the series because they find a lot of the male characters hot.
See, like for me, I only find one character hot.
Is it Katsura?
Yes.
Is it the hair?
A little bit. I have another reason to like him. He's just really funny. I'm a person that goes for comedy. I have reasons to like him besides him being attractive.
He gets more retarded as the series goes on.
I don't care.
No, I'm not saying I think it's funny.
Right. I fell for him because he was funny, not because of his hair. It was a little bit of his hair, but mostly because of his voice actor and the way they represented him. I was like, because
that's another thing I want to bring up really quickly before we probably wrap up here in a sec. I love the voice acting for this series. So
right.
I love Sugita. I love Ishida. Sugita voices Gintoki. Ishida voices Katsura, and Koyasu voices. I guess I can name them. The character we were talking about, who's insane, Takasugi. I love all three of those actors. And I guess who's another one? I feel like there's another one I should give props to. Sachan's voice actor. You notice in the anime seems very reserved, but later on she takes a lot of liberties with the character, and there's a lot of screaming.
Yes. Okay. People who don't know about Sachan, when you watch that first episode, you think this girl's a really shy chick. No.
she is a masochist.
Trust me. Okay. I promise you guys. Listen to like her voice at that first episode, and then find another Sachan episode later on in the future. You're gonna see a total difference.
Oh, yeah, she screams so much by the time, I think, season 4 in the anime rolls around.
She starts screaming before then. Like, I was sitting there just like, shut up.
I think it's funny.
It's just, oh my goodness, she's just so...
It's funny because she's a crazy, insane stalker. Which, by the way, there are like 3 stalkers later.
Yeah, the show loves our stalkers and their gorillas.
I remember watching this show with a friend of mine, Eric. I was showing him an episode, and there was a scene where, spoiler alert, Otai has a stalker later on, Kondo, where he comes up, you haven't seen it yet. It's like all the way in season 5. It's a great one. But there's a gag where they all come up one after the other, and I was just telling Eric, he's a stalker. He's a stalker, and she's a stalker. She's like, I remember the look on Eric's face. He's like, Jesus.
Oh my god.
So I loved doing that. That was funny. It didn't help that I picked that episode because it was a kind of a beach episode. It was a pool episode, so there'd be girls in swimsuits, and I thought he would like that.
Well, he's a guy.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's a real guy. And then I guess after all of that, we have the end of the show, you know, where we say goodbye, maybe do some unfunny banter, I don't know, and then maybe talk about what we do next episode, I don't know, we haven't gotten that far yet, but I think that's about it, unless there's anything else you want to bring up.
What I wanted to bring up.
Did you want to bring up anything else?
Besides, I think I did. I also wanted to point out something about the anime as well.
Like what?
You guys don't know about this because you guys probably haven't seen this episode per se, because it's one specific episode that did this really well. But, the gags aren't just in the physical content, it's actually the animation. In the anime per se, add to these gags.
Oh,
I know you probably don't understand what I mean by that.
The way they animate the series?
Not that. It's kind of, I guess you could say that, but there's actually a point in time. Like our friend John pointed this out to us because we didn't even know about it. And then when we rewatched it, we couldn't stop laughing. It was so hilarious.
Yeah, they're...
Because the animation does stuff that is so funny, that is so ridiculous. To the point that's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that it's funny.
That's another thing that the anime has on the manga, is that depending on how they animate the movement in the series of the characters, I think it really adds to the experience, just the way that characters can move. It really adds to the comedy, which is why it's another reason why I prefer the anime, just because they can do that stuff. That kind of stuff usually doesn't work in the manga.
And we're not taking like one side over the other.
Oh, no.
We do prefer the anime a little bit more than the manga. We're not saying the manga's bad. We're definitely not saying that. We love the manga.
Well,
but we're saying,
of course it's not bad. Of course it's not bad. Otherwise, you'll
be doing this.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the original source material, so we got to give it some props. It's where the plot and the story comes from. You know, without the original source material, the manga, you know, the anime wouldn't exist. So, yeah, we just happen to prefer the anime more. You know, this is why we're doing this podcast, because we want to pay attention to the manga. We want to bring we want people to kind of pay attention to it. Maybe just give it a little more spotlight, because I think it really deserves it.
Right, because, like we said before, it's just that when you look at a manga, you're looking at still pictures. Animation is when they're moving. And that's the reason why I prefer the anime more than the manga, is because the animation adds so much to it makes you, as Colton said, it makes your experience worthwhile.
Oh, yeah, it adds a lot more to the experience when you watch it.
I could give an example, but I could ruin that whole entire joke. And you guys probably won't even notice it, because me and Cole didn't even know this certain animation happened, but our friend John noticed it, and he started cracking up. He's like, "Did you guys see that?" And Basically, in this one specific episode, all the there's three specific characters that turn around, but they have no turning around animation.
It's like they just go from one frame to the other.
Right.
Maybe
it's quick. It's just like that.
Maybe I'll put a link to the episode we're talking about, just so people can see it. But
right. Because
it's a great scene. Like, literally, yeah, these three specific characters are just looking at these other two and kind of giving them the look like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And then they're like, "We're done with this." You see them face towards you, and then you see them turn around, but they don't actually turn around, because they don't make that. It's really hard to explain. Again, I'll...
It's kind of like this. Usually, when you look at animation, they either make this weird, flat, quick movement of them turning around, when it looks like a blur, and then you see them turned around, or they actually do this really slow turn where you see every aspect of their body turn around. But that wasn't the case here. They actually looked at you, and then you just start... And then, as you know, they're walking away.
I love that whoosh sound effect.
Right. That's also added to it, because these sound effects are hilarious. But they literally just look at you a frame later, they're turned around walking away from you. Is that funny?
it's a great scene, and I kind of want to read the manga version, because I would like to see how they do that in the manga, but I don't think I have that volume just yet. But I can't wait to read that in the manga. That's going to be funny.
Yeah. You guys don't understand. The reason we do love the anime, and we don't love it just because of, like, how funny the plot, how good the plot is, and stuff like that. We actually do love the animation. And I'm a girl that does really focus on animation and voice characters, or voice actors for that instance. I focus on the quality of the show.
It's
anything.
It's funny because half the time they don't really have to animate anything, because most of the time they just stand around.
That's very true. That's where everything is so dialogue heavy, because I'm telling you guys now, when you guys actually look at this anime, you're actually going to see a scene. I'm not saying you will. It's just that once you start noticing stuff, you're going to see like a scene of them probably like sitting down, or you're just going to see like the house that they live in, you're going to hear all dialogue, you won't see crap.
The background only shots. I don't think they do that in the manga, but that's something else that adds to the anime, where they don't feel like animating anything. So they'll have a background shot of their little headquarters, Oddjob's Gin, And it'll just be the three of them talking, and they won't be on screen, and they'll just talk. They'll talk about the most. They'll talk about the most screwed up shit. Like, they'll talk about, oh, how we're gonna get canceled, and oh, we did this. We better apologize for that. Or the PTA is really on our ass. Just a bunch of weird shit.
Right, and that's what makes it really funny, because we don't know, because you don't notice it, because you really don't pay attention. You're focusing on the dialogue, so you're really enjoying that. You're not focusing on what's going on.
Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't be paying attention to it, but they bring attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, they bring attention to it, yes, but you probably won't notice it, or you probably won't pay attention to it, because you're so, like, again, like, I didn't notice about it until Colton actually told me about it, and I didn't realize that there was that they didn't feel like animating anything, so they just had, like, a little shot of their home base, and it was just dialogue over it, and I didn't know about it.
I would not mind if there was an entire episode where they just did that, but they would actually probably get into a lot of trouble for doing that, because there would probably need to be actual movement.
Because it's just that because Gintama, they're able to cut corners like that because you can't complain about it, because they do stuff like this on a daily basis.
It's not like a long-running shonen anime where it'll get to the point where maybe they're like less than a year behind the manga material, and they have to, like, really drag things out, like the action and stuff, just so they don't catch up. You know, it's not like that kind of series, but you know, they're really good about their budget. They really save a lot of their budget for when there's action, and you can tell too, like, when there's action, they really step up the animation.
Yes, because guys, I'm telling you now that I really thought the animation was good, so I saw the Benny Zakura arc.
Oh my god, the animation in that's
amazing. The animation in that is flawless. It's beautiful.
It's a lot better in the retelling movie. Just mostly because it's in HD, and I feel like they kind of touch up the animation a little bit. But either way, it's still really good.
It's just beautiful. And I love it. Because I don't usually focus on animation and stuff like that. I mostly focus on the story and how they play it out. But when I saw this, I fell for the animation immediately. I just loved it. But, like, I can't criticize the show.
There really isn't much to criticize about the show, honestly. Or at least nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
Right. Either you had to be like a total, like, you gotta, like, sit there and, like, analyze every freaking frame of the show to figure out if there's something wrong with it.
Really, the only thing I think people would complain about in terms of the anime would be the fact that for, like, the first 200 episodes, it's in 4x3 full screen. But that's really more for the really anal video people, which I don't really agree with any of that. I don't care just as long as the animation's nice. I don't care about the size of the screen at all.
Right. I'm a person that as long as I'm enjoying myself, I don't care if it's wide or full screen. I really don't care.
Because I know people have big problems with, like, the letterboxing and stuff, especially on TV. But again, that's just my opinion. I don't care.
It's on TV. It can be annoying.
I guess.
That's why it kind of, when it's widescreen per se for me, I get very annoyed.
I don't understand why.
I don't know. I guess I want to see my screen fully captivate the entire show or movie or whatever I'm watching.
I guess. I think we should actually wrap this up.
Yeah. So, guys.
So,
basically.
So hopefully you listen to this before you listen to the first episode, just because we don't do a very good job of explaining what we do in the first episode, even though I planned it that way. I probably shouldn't be revealing this, but we did just record the first episode yesterday, and then I thought back on it while I was I'm still editing the first episode, even, but I called Jasmine up, and I'm like, hey, I don't think we did a very good job explaining ourselves yesterday. Get on Skype for a little bit. We need to redo this. But, you know, so I guess that's it. I mean, hopefully you're not too annoyed by the first episode, and hopefully you are listening to this first. If you already listened to the first episode, again, we're sorry.
Yeah,
Very, very sorry.
Start sticking around so much. We'll try not to do that as much.
We'll try to be more consistent about it.
A bit more, yeah. We'll try to actually be a little more organized, but
because again, it's our first. We are so comfortable with one another that we just kind of don't care.
I mean, we're kind of doing this just to talk about the show, just because we like talking about the show. But I think we're probably gonna forget a few times that people are actually listening
to us.
And sometimes our banter might not be as funny, you know, to other people.
As to us.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because sometimes we say a lot of stupid stuff.
We are very random people.
Oh yeah. About as random as Gintama is. That's relevant.
Yeah. We're very random people, so half the stuff we say to each other is very random, and it probably won't make sense. If you're listening to us, it probably won't make sense whatsoever. You're probably going to think, what the heck is wrong with these people?
So, I guess this has been Life Lessons. I hope you learned something. Okay.
Yeah, so, thank you guys for listening to this zero episode.
Episode zero, yes.
And
where it all should have began, but it really didn't.
Yeah. We just didn't really think about it until it was too late.
I didn't think about it till today. You know, looking back on life, should have done this, should have done that, you know, should have, would have, could have. Right, but thanks guys for listening if you have. And we'll see you, I guess, either on the first episode or episode two.
Yep. So if you guys are really interested in us, thank you for watching. And if you watched the first episode before this one, again, we are very, very sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll have more contact information to come later. So for now, see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done.
Yay.